Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Urban Entrepreneurs. It is a no-holds-barred business conversation in which we teach you how to C-Y-O-C, create your own check. We are simulcasting on BeLive TV as well as Blog Talk Radio. I am your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Russell Lagan. Russ, what's going on, Doc?
Hey, brother. Good to be back.
Hey, it's good to be back, man. It's good to be back. And tonight we have returning special guest, Mae Smallwood, who rocked the house last time, almost replaced me as a co-host, almost turned the chair over to him, almost handed him the mic. Mace, how's it going, man? How's everything?
It's going great, Jeff. Good to see you again. This is great. This is a great night. I'm very, very appreciative to be invited back to your wonderful program.
Mace and Russ, it's good to be back. We took a little hiatus as we are going to talk about tonight, the even in business until the business is our full-time occupation, we have to work our business around our jobs, and sometimes we have to make some allowances for the job. Correct, gentlemen?
Right.
But we are back. Thank you for
the extent.
To an extent. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. We're going to get into that in just a minute. So let me take care of sharing the link for the person just logged on. We appreciate you being here. I'm going to go on my page, make sure we're up and running. And we are. Let me just check the sound. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Make sure our sound is good. Yes. Sound is good. All right, gentlemen, so I'm about to share the link to both of your timelines.
Excellent.
And then we will be good to go. I'm excited about new season with the guests we're going to have. And honestly, Mace, I could think of no other person to have to start us off than yourself, sir. So,
thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And Vivian Edwards, thank you for sharing the video. We appreciate you. And so Mace, listen, for those who may not have seen you, the last time you were on last year, and I know last year almost seems like an eternity, it was only probably a couple of months. Just take about 30 seconds and tell our viewers about yourself in your own way, and then we're going to get started tonight. How to start and build a successful business venture.
Okay, my name is Mae Smallwood. I'm a former naval officer, former corporate executive. I have made the choice that I didn't like the way things were going. The rules kept changing, so I jumped out of that. I have a couple of my own businesses I do now. I call them vehicles to go towards my wealth at the same time, take my lovely, lovely family to our wealth point. And I like to share information. I want people to know there's other paradigms out there to be able to move. Don't be scared.
Don't get
kill
stuck.
The fear.
Don't get stuck. Don't be scared. Kill the fear. I've heard it said that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So Russ, we in a sense are reintroducing you, sir. So listen. Tell everybody about yourself, my co-host, my partner. I won't say in crime, my partner in CYOC and creating our own checks, Russell Lagan.
Hey, listen, man, it's good to be back. It's the one. I'm happy about this new season. I'm just a regular guy, man, you know, beginning entrepreneur, author, just a guy going, trying to make that transition from, you know, working his job to that full-time create my own check, man. So I'm good to be back. It's a new season. You said you got the great man. The last time he did an awesome job. I'm supposed to be co-hosting. I was taking notes, you know, getting some information, man. I thought we were in class there for a minute. So I'm putting a better person to start the new season off, man, than Brother Mae. I'm hoping he's going to rap for us tonight or something, man. You know, that's the other thing. I'm sorry.
He owes me royalties. Don't start this. This debate going with him.
So let me just say, everybody, you can hit us up in the chat. Vivian Edwards, thank you for sharing. Thank you for commenting. Also, If you see me look down, viewing audience, it is because I'm working the chat. Also, if you want to call in, you can, as we are simulcasting, 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. I did list the call-in number in the chat. So it's about starting and building a business. And I said this in the caption for Blog Talk Radio. Many people have a vision for their own business, and yet they really don't know how to get started, and most importantly, don't know how to build a business. So we want to start there. Mace, someone has a vision to start a business. Each of us have had our respective visions to start businesses. We all have. What's the first step? So I want to build wealth via a business vehicle, as you said. First step.
Okay. The first step is, as you know and I know, as people that have done this, you got to have a concept. You have to have your imagination, let it loose, start thinking of ways to solve other people's issues. Mm. I tell you right now, if you can let your imagination go and you can start solving issues, you'll be surprised at how quickly you can start building a concept into a vehicle that will give you wealth.
So the first step is identifying a problem and creating a solution around which you can build a business.
Exactly. I did, as an example, I had started into real estate. And what I did was I had a mentor, and I was talking to him. I said, you know what? I do stocks. So I said to him, I said, I'm going to do something interesting. He said, what's that? I'm doing an option call with a right hedge to solve a problem. He goes, what? And I said, very simply, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a person that has a house to sell, can't sell it, and I'm going to let them pay me insurance to get them rented out, maintenance taken care of, and basically give myself a cash flow possibility. At the same time, he's getting a cash flow possibility, and we found housing for people that needed it. So everybody was a win-win across the board.
So it's not as Michael Douglas said in Wall Street, it's not a zero-sum game. Somebody wins and somebody loses.
Best way to win-win, always, always.
So, Russ, you have somebody come to you and say, Mr. Ligon, I have a passion for business. I want time and financial freedom. We could do a whole show about time and financial freedom.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes to you, Mr. Ligon, I have this passion. And I want to start a business. What's the first step, Russ?
Well, you know, like Mace said, you know, we got to have that concept and everything. You know, you want to be able to say how you're going to get from point A to point B. And that concept is the most important thing because it's that vision. You got to have an idea about something, what you're going to do and everything. So Mace explained it very well. So, I mean, that's where you start with that idea.
You have to have the concept. You have to have the initial schema. So
exactly.
how does one come up with that initial concept? I mean, for every person, there are 1,000 businesses. So,
well, with that being said, I tell people this. Start becoming the entrepreneur you want to be. How do you do that? Close your mouth, open your ears, and listen. Listen around you. Listen to what people are saying. You'll find that people will give you an idea. And then you can take your imagination, write it down, take your imagination, give it 15 minutes of focus every day. Just focus. Then write down the idea. Expand the idea.
I like that.
And guess what happens? You start flushing it out, and suddenly you go, wait a minute, it may start off as I'm solving X, Y, Z, and then it may say I'm solving A and I'm solving B, but it gets you drilled down to a point that concept becomes clarified. You have clarity. Clarity is power.
So initial concept needs to be defined, needs to be detailed, needs to be explicated, you have to put meat on the bones. Russell, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You just can't, and that's why I told him to get it out of your head and put it on paper. Put it on paper.
Yes.
Look at it, because once you take it out of your head and put it on paper, you'll begin to see if what the idea that you have is really doable. you may learn that you have other obstacles or other opportunities or other challenges that you need to work out. And then you can begin to start moving forward because there's other things that you may need to do, preliminary steps before you get that concept implemented.
See, and again, look at this. So we've already gone from the abstract to the concrete. We've already helped people go from passion to the first step. So the first step is a concept that one then specifies in detail. So step two, market research, and Russ, you just alluded to that. Market, you didn't use the term market research, but as you were discussing this, you were really talking about market research. So in light of that, why don't you tell people what is this whole notion of market research and how does one conduct it?
Listen, if you're going to go into business, you got to know not only the concept and is your idea doable, but you find out who else is doing it. Who's your competition? Who's your what does your target market look like? Is it old people? Is it young people? Is it suburbanites? Is it people with a certain education? You know, how is your concept compare to the larger economy? How does it compare in your state? You got to have some data so that when you get ready to put that thing out there, you got a little direction.
Wow, I like that.
I agree with that, definitely.
Demographic research, psychographic research, competitive analysis. I work in senior living, and a couple of months ago, we engaged in a very extensive competitive analysis. Is the market saturated? Is it not? What are certain niches or niches in the market, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
Mace.
Exactly.
Mace, jump in. Market research.
I like market research in a little different way. I think, Russ, you hit it right on the head. So that was perfect, my man. But I like to think of it this way. I go a little bigger than that. I will go, actually, it's going to sound strange when people say, why would you do that? I go world. So what's happening in the world right now? So that's called sovereign research.
Sovereign research
will let you know exactly what's happening in the United States from the big picture. Then from the big picture of the United States, what is happening in your region? And it's very easy to drill down. There's lots of sites that give you a lot of metadata for whatever thing, anything you want. You can go to Quora, and Quora will tell you that stuff. I mean, you can find it very quickly. So what you want to do is you want to drill down to the point where you take it to your local community. Because where are you going to start? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you're doing something that's based on the internet, well, maybe, or something, your concept kind of jumps out a little bit more. When you did that market research that went worldwide or global, guess what? Everybody's touched by the internet. Don't start big. Think big in that regard so that you can get, there you go, perfect. You just put it up on the screen. That's what we're talking about. That stuff is there for the taking. It's made for us.
And Mace, just to make sure, Quora is spelled Q-U-O-R-A, correct?
Correct.
Quora.com. And Jason Osborne, my man, Happy New Year, sir. Thank you for logging back on. We're getting some good information here, too. So Quora.com is for market research, correct?
You can use it for market research. It is actually a form, almost like think of a Wikipedia site, where people will answer that no. And a lot of people want to answer to be able to drive you towards certain sites. So what do? They'll answer that just to give you that market research you can use. And then you'll start trusting them. You'll get thumbs up because they're good for that kind of source. So they're actually driving their business. You do your business.
I like that. So Jason Osborne has said, if you don't have a concept yet, walk around with a notepad and start to fine-tune the selection as you ponder on what you want to do. Daily life is a key. It is something you enjoy, or is it something you enjoy? Will it become something you will do for the rest of your life? Do you want to build something and sell the business? Jason, I like that. Appreciate your support. So we don't, Macy, we want to make sure that everybody understands the terms that we're using. So metadata, M-E-T. No. Macy. If I didn't want you to say it, you know, I wouldn't have you on the show. Now, all I'm saying, I appreciate the fact that you didn't, Russ. We're going to get you in just 1 second. What is meta-data or metadata? And as you talk, I'm going to write in the chat metadata. What is it?
I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm going to say for the term everyone can understand, metadata simply means data that you can use toward a specific goal or specific idea. Okay, so metacognition. Let me give you an example. And you say, what's metacognition? It's able to trick your mind into doing something. Metadata is able to get your mind into doing something. To be able to do something, you need more information about it, right?
Exactly.
So, like Jason said, walk around the pad, listen to people. That's metadata. That's the way it works. That is exactly how it works.
See the fact? Go ahead, Mace.
All right. So when you're going to a site like that, you're going to get driven to sites that have that kind of data for your very specific concept or idea.
So
that's the idea.
So business, at the end of the day, it has to go from passion to concept to that which is empirically driven.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
right on the head.
So there, in a successful business, there can be no guesswork. There has to be certainty. Russ, jump in and comment about that.
Listen, man, that's part of what makes you an entrepreneur. You begin to look at things differently. You begin to take the time to grab all the needed information that is necessary in order for you to successfully move forward. That's part of what makes you different than just an employee. That's part of what makes you different than just a regular guy. You begin to zoom in and research and look at the activities of the world, your business world, in a completely different way.
So listen, I'm going to just take a quick call-in break, 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. You are watching and listening to Urban Entrepreneurs, a no-holds-barred business conversation. Tonight's topic is how to start and build a successful business venture. I am your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Russell Ligon, and our special guest, Mace Smallwood. Hey, we're doing it live. So everybody, it has to be, ultimately, your business has to be driven by data.
Exactly. Now, what I was going to say was that if you can't figure out a concept, if you're not hitting those ideas, well, one of the things we spoke about last time we were on the show was reading. One of the things I do is reading. It's funny because I was going to say I have a stack of books that are right here in front of me.
Same here.
And what did I do? They're all books just about different things. They're from the same company on this one. And then I have this other by Burchard.
Yes.
Okay. See, start reading. You start finding concepts will start flowing from that reading. So I'm sorry, I cut in there. So.
No, it's okay. Mace, it's all right. It's all right. I'm guiding the whole process. I appreciate what you're saying. Robert Kiyosaki said something that I'll never forget. He said, the entrepreneur's education never ends. There is no graduation date. Russ, good. Your image is a lot better. Perfect. Yep. You're adjusted. You're good.
Perfect.
So,
yep, you're
so
right in there.
The entrepreneur's education never stops. Because
never.
Like Meek Mill said, you know, there's levels to this. I won't quote the vulgarity that he quoted, but there's levels to this ish. And at every level, it makes you introduced this whole notion of learning. At every level, there's another set of knowledge that we have to be aware of and another skill set that we have to develop. And Robert Kiyosaki, for example, talks about the highest level of entrepreneurship is taking a company public. But that's a different knowledge base and skill set from the self-employed individual.
Yes, it is. Totally different. And when he said that, let me jump back for a second. Remember Samuel Clemens said the same thing. He said, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education.
I like that.
Okay, that's from Mark Twain way back. Okay, folks, so don't think we're making this stuff up. You can look it up. I tell everybody, believe
Jason Osborne. Jason Osborne.
Only half of what you see.
Yes, Jason Osborne. I hear you, brother. I hear you, man. You know, every night with this show, because it's a business show, I try to keep it PG-13. But I know the whole quote, my man. And thank you. So any
we all do.
Any entrepreneur has to be committed to a continuing educational process. And if not, then you are severely, and I am severely undermining my entrepreneurial abilities. Russ, jump in, man.
Listen, man, you remind me of one of my favorite authors. He's not necessarily a business person, an entrepreneur, but the concept applies perfectly. It's Carter G. Woodson.
Of course, yes.
In Miseducation of the Negro, he said that a mind that remains in the present atmosphere never undergoes sufficient development to experience what is commonly known as thinking. You cannot remain the same.
Wow.
You have to take in new information in order for you to be thinking. In order to think about that business, you got to constantly make adjustments. There's financial information. There's information about your target market. There's information about your product, your service. There may be some financial information. There may be some information with your staff, the different things that you have to constantly adjust to make sure that your product or service is relevant and that you're giving people what they really want.
Which brings us to the next phase of or step with respect to starting and building a successful business venture, and that is having a business plan. You know, 50%, I was listening to, I believe it was Hot 97 this morning. No, it was 105.1, and it was in this afternoon. 50, and was the gentleman who was the, forget the exact title, but he dealt with business development out of the state of New York. I think he was the commissioner for business development. And he said 50% of businesses fail within the first 5 years.
Yes.
And largely because they don't have a plan. And people don't plan to fail. What? They just fail to plan. So right. Russell, what is the importance of having a business plan? And then what does that business plan need to consist of foundationally?
The business plan becomes your modus operandi. You take it out of your head, you put it on paper, you look at the different components, because you don't want to keep your business idea to yourself. So you want to be able to put it on paper, look at the different elements of it, your concept. Do you have any, what is your basic idea? Do you have any partners? What is your skill, your education? What is your target market? What are your financials look like? What does your timeline look like? What is your sales and marketing? These are the different components, and there's more that you need to look at, because you want to take your concept. You may need some financing. So a lender or a potential business partner is going to want to, let me see what you got, so that you take it out of your head and put it on paper so they can look at it and understand where it becomes your roadmap. That's your navigation system.
Exactly.
That's your navigation system and how you're going to move forward. And so that's the difference between, once again, you and the employee, you and the other guy. You've taken yours out. You've taken the time to put it on paper and look at where you're going. You're going to constantly tweak that thing, too.
Yeah, I like what you said, Russell. That's perfect. I believe that step one definitely is the business plan. But with the business plan, you have to have your life plan, too, at the same time. Remember, you're an entrepreneur. So you're training to be a capitalist. You're training for that next level. So I tell people a couple things I do, and this is part of my planning, is that I look for a new group of five people. It sounds badly when I say that. A group where I'm going to be the dumbest person in the group. It sounds strange to say that. I wanted to be the stupidest person there. Why? I start learning things. It gets better. And then when I finally rise to the top of that group, because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a person that's going to go for the top. Once I rise above that group, I leave them behind, I look for the next group where I'm the dumbest person again. Now, if you're the smartest person in your group, you're in the wrong group right there.
That's what Richard Branson said. He said, if you're the smartest person in the room, find a new room.
Find a new room, exactly. So when it comes to your business plan, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Russ.
No, I think that's right. Go ahead.
Okay. Then when you go to a business plan, I like to break it down. One thing that you have to start with before you even start your plan, get your concept like we're talking about. You start moving forward with your market research. You have to research you also. So a part of your business plan has to involve your own skill and professional development as part of your business plan. Do not forget that.
Mace, you're the first person I've ever heard say that the life plan and the business plan have to go hand in hand. Delve into that piece. Delve into the life planning piece.
Okay. Well, a lot of people, this is something that's pretty systemic with us. You know, they say how they train an elephant not to go running around and running away. They chain it down first. They break its spirit. And then that elephant will constantly take a step but move back as if the chain is still there. So they'll never move. Okay? Think about being an employee, what happens to you. Okay? Think about the honeypots of the pension, the honeypots of all these things they promise that never truly come to fruition. Right?
True that.
Okay. So it's funny because I tell people if you're going to do this, you got to have a plan where you're going to start moving yourself out of that paradigm. You got to move to that next step. Okay. We can do a whole show just on this. And you know that, guys, but I'll keep it brief. So when it comes to your life plan, you have to know where you sit financially. Are you doing a financial statement for yourself every month? Do you have a general ledger that tells you how your spending's going? What happens to your income? Okay, and then you want to become an entrepreneur, you start doing cash flow. Oh my God, all of a sudden you go, okay, that's money coming in, but how is it being used? Is your money being used to basically give you more freedom from your current expenses? So the financial plan for yourself has to come into play. That means your education, financial education for yourself, understanding your situation. Many people are very scared of their situation. They don't want to know. They have no idea. If you ask them to balance your checkbook and figure out how they spent during the month, they'll run in terror. They don't know what happened to their check. All they know is by the end of the week it's gone. Interesting, huh?
And they have no financial self-control.
None.
And listen, let's think about it. If we look at our household as a business, you have income, you have expenses. The savings that are left over can be considered profit. If someone can't manage their own finances, how are they going to manage a business? Because it's a household writ large. And the same principles apply. Cost containment, financial management, financial discipline, et cetera. Jason Osborne, creating things within your means can make you a millionaire also. You could be a good pool guy and invent a new valve that sells out the market. A janitor may invent an app with his software buddy that organizes and tracks their product stock and sell that to janitorial businesses, et cetera, et cetera. Right, hey Jason, this is old school, brother, back in the 70s, but I remember the 70s right on. It's the truth. You understand? And this is interesting that I think, and Mace, you alluded to this, the employee mindset is very limiting because we are essentially working for a handout.
Exactly. That's the mindset.
That's the mindset. A handout, and we're also beholden to our employer. So we are essentially giving our financial life over to the control of another. And and for each of us who are co-hosting tonight, I know that is an unacceptable paradigm. I know that. That's why we're doing what we do, right?
Exactly.
I don't want that. And Damon Dash said something. He said a boss puts his own money up. He says, now he goes, in my opinion, he goes a little bit too far, that a real man would never call somebody a boss. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I do agree with the concept of this, that it's best not to have somebody that we report to, that we should really report to ourselves and at the ultimate level have others reporting to us.
Well, what's interesting too is the reason why I brought that up was if you don't have that as part of your financial plan to get your own house in order, there's no way you're ever going to become a true entrepreneur and a capitalist. There's no way a business is going to flourish from your mindset.
Wow.
You got to have your house in order.
We have to have our house in order. You see, and so, all right. So let's see. I just want to take a look at the time. Let me give another station call, if you will. You're listening to Urban Entrepreneurs, where we teach you how to CYOC. It's a no-holds-barred business conversation. I am with two phenomenal gentlemen, Russell Ligon, my co-host, and Mace Smallwood, guest co-host tonight. Phenomenal individual. Thank you for those who have logged on. Jason Osborne, thank you for your next comment. You can call in 657-383-0106 if you want to speak to us, ask a question, or you can hit us up in the chat. So life plan, and self-control. So Russell and Mace, how does one gain that self-control? Because if you can't control yourself, you can't control the business, right?
Exactly.
Russ, how do they do it?
Listen, man, you got to deal with reality. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to be able to look at things realistically for what they are. A lot of us we often say we don't have money to go into business. We don't have money to do different things. And if we evaluate our personal lives, we'll see that we have a lot of the money that we need. We're just putting it in the wrong place. It may be constantly eating out. It may be buying coffee. It may be spending money on frivolous, clothing items and other things like that. And oftentimes, just making those adjustments and shifting money around so that we're not constantly spending money, begin to shift it around where we're saving and investing. is a great place to start.
And let me just say before you jump in, Malik Abdul-Zahir, LMAO, you are so right. We are scared of what we do with our money. Yeah, we're scared. You know what? And see, some people would rather be ostriches with their heads in the sand. You see what I'm saying? But if we're going to run successful businesses, we've got to be realists. We've got to be pragmatists. We've got to be fact-driven. And we can't live in denial. So if we need better financial management skills, there are all kind of apps, Mint.com, others. There's Stash.com for investing. We have to be honest with ourselves. Mace, jump in.
Okay. I was going to say that it hit it right on the head. One of my mentors calls it when we buy all those funky little things that we like and want, doodads. So you get your doodads on.
That's
so
right.
That's good. That's nice. But now, the interesting thing about that is one of my mentors also said is that you have to break the mindset. How do you break the mindset? So I'm going to give you a little skill to do that. So take three little jars. Here's one of my jars I had before. You see that? I put a little tea on the top of that jar. You see it okay?
Yeah, lift it up. I can't see it because it's right. Lift it up above the title because the title is obscuring the jar. Okay, so something happened here. We got disconnected. Can everybody hear me? Yeah, Russ, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Paul.
Okay, I don't know what happened. We got disconnected, but we are back.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I got kicked back to the lobby for some reason.
I don't know what happened.
Like my headset.
All right, so we're good, everybody. So Mace, you were talking about the jar. So lift it up a little bit.
Now, this is one of the jars, okay? I made a little nut jar. It's from nuts, raw nuts, okay?
I can see it, yes.
Now, right here. It says right here that it has a T on the top. See that?
Yes.
And I put these out just for a little fun here. See this one? It has an I on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's another one that has an S on the top. Now, this is a little way to teach yourself how to do something. So instead of buying that Starbucks, instead of buying that doodad, what you do is you give yourself one jar for savings, okay?
Mm.
One jar for investment, one jar for tithe. One of the problems we have in our life is that we do not like to give. We go, oh, we got to make money first to be able to give. Really? You know what I did for tithing this month? I went out and spoke at Parker Stonegate Senior Center. I got a chance to enrich some lives. That's how I gave. But I also gave pillows. My lady, I gave pillows to the fish house. We did something. We gave. When people understand that, you start paying yourself first by putting money in your three jars. You start forgetting about taking it out and doing other things with it. You start training yourself. So when I come home, I go, okay, I got money in my pocket. Good. Okay, five in that jar, five in that jar, five in that jar.
I like it.
And guess what? Yeah, it's a little trick to help yourself start getting to that point where you stop going, I don't have money. And that's another thing I want to talk about. I'm kind of jumping a little bit here. Is not only do I have that trick, I had to change the way I thought. I don't want anybody in this that's listening to us right now to ever think they don't have money. I never want you to think, I can't afford that. But I want you to say to yourself, how can I afford that?
Exactly, because when we say we can't, it shuts the brain down. But when
there
we ask
go.
Ourselves how, the it stimulates the brain to think of a solution. One thing that Russell Simmons says, and I know that recently he's gotten some bad press. I'm going to put that aside. He said this, and I try to live by this. Good givers are great getters.
There you go.
Good givers are great getters. And it's part of the law of sowing and reaping. And regardless of one's religious or spiritual tradition, most traditions that I'm aware of have a particular take on that law. In essence, we receive what we give, positively or negatively. That's the law. That's the universal law. So Mace, what you're saying is the tithe is a giving back to. It's paying it forward, and then there's that law of reciprocity.
You got it exactly.
That we begin to engage in and enact. That really amounts to a mutual benefit for all people.
There you go. Exactly.
Russ, you were going to say something. And then
no,
we'll talk
I
about finance.
100%.
Yes.
You talked about that paradigm shift, beginning to look at yourself in a different things in a different way. You may not have money at that moment, but you can give your time. You can give some education. You can give other things. Start thinking like the entrepreneur. Start thinking like the boss instead of the employee.
You know, exactly. And Russ, it really is a mindset. See, what did you say? Yeah. Think like a boss. See, if you think like an employee, you'll never be a boss.
Right.
And if you think about if you think like a boss and you have a properly executed plan that is also well financed, and a little segue, then one day you will no longer be an employee and you'll be a boss. So, gentlemen, let's talk about financing, because there it is said. I remember, I guess, 5-10 years ago, OPP or OPM, other people's money. And so there was this, everybody was talking about, whether it was real estate, whether it was business, what have you, OPM. Now I have discovered that no one is willing to invest money in someone who's not willing to invest money in him or herself.
Boom. You hit it right on the head. That is a truism. And what happens is, I like to tell people that, you know, those little courses you go to, the seminars and stuff, other people may say you're crazy. You're spending $50 to go see that and listen to this guy and learn how to do tax liens. Really? You're going to spend money on that and you can read it in a book? It's a lot different when someone is feeding you the knowledge and showing you the example.
Exactly.
Okay? And you've got to invest in yourself. If you don't invest in yourself, you have nothing.
I see, Russ. Russ, that's all right. No, you have nothing. Russell, you are smiling from ear to ear, sir. Go ahead.
Mike, if you remember just the other day, when you sent me the outline, I said, oh, man, Mike, that's amazing. I had just come from the small business development center, and we were talking about business plans, and everything was laid out. Like, what did you say? You said confirmation.
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 See,
and you know what? I know how to do a business plan, but I go there to learn how to do it better. And I went there, and I saw that I had a little bit too much detail. You know what I mean? I was wasting time, and I got a bunch of pages, and I was just putting stuff in that really didn't need to be in there. So I'm revamping my business plan to go in and take the information that really needs to be there and get rid of some of that fluff. Because especially when I'm looking to take somebody on as a partner or look for an investor, I don't want them to get bored and overwhelmed with all this data, you know, typically what I need in the key areas that I need so that we can move forward. So right away, I'm already cluttered because I'm trying to fill in instead of just give what needs to be given to that business plan.
So once we have the concept, once we've done the market research, once we have the business plan, how do we go about securing financing? Because no business can run without money. You have startup costs, you have ongoing expenses, you have operating expenses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Financing.
Okay. Financing is an interesting thing because a lot of people think you got to go to a bank. I beg to differ. But
now go ahead.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me why. Tell us why.
There's good debt and bad debt. Okay. Anytime you're using debt to fund a vehicle that is going to give you cash flow or put money in your pocket, it is good debt.
Yeah.
Now, you have to do the analysis to make sure that debt doesn't overwhelm the actual cash flow. So then it becomes bad because it can't get there. In other words, you don't have cash on cash. It's going to be a negative for you. So it's not a good deal. But at the same time, nowadays, because of such a plethora of places to go, you don't have to go to your mom and dad anymore and ask for dollars to start up. You don't have to raid your bank account. I have a friend that raided their savings account to start a cafe. I was like, why did you do that? Why? Because you can do, I mean, like a rent, you know, real estate and trust. You can find people that just want to come in together. If you see Sophia's like that, Prosperity, all those are actually, you can get loans from them. But if you look down on their sheet, it says, would you like to be the investor in the loan? Get it?
Yeah.
See what's happening there?
Yeah.
So those are other people coming in going, I'm going to put my money into this pot of other people's money, and I'm going to get that percentage back. So you can go to them and go, I have a business plan. This is what I have. They will review it like anybody else. Go, okay, what do you need? Okay, you need 10 grand. Okay, you need 100 grand. Okay, we can fund that. And it's on the strength of your business plan. That's why that is such an important tool. Here's a good example. I'm moving out of the idea of going and doing smaller real estate deals. I want to go into bigger real estate deals. You know what a bank does? It can care less about your personal credit. It doesn't care who you are. It looks at the net operating income of the property you want to buy. based on your business plan. If you have a 30-unit building and you know that everybody's going to pay $2,000 a month, cover the loan, and can you do a time and a half bigger than that for yourself? That's what they look for. So they'll fund the loan just on the property. So your idea may be big enough just to fund on its own merit when it comes to that.
So you have family and friends, angel investors, venture capital firms, banks, hard money lenders for real estate, crowdfunding. And what am I missing? Russ, what am I missing in terms of sources of financing? And even in our own, see, and there's this whole notion of skin in the game. No one is going to invest in us if we don't have skin in the game also. What's skin in the game? That's a metaphor for our own money. Because if we don't care enough about our venture to fund it, then why should anyone else care about it?
Well, I got to back you both up on that one because most of my deals are done with zero capital for me. So, so you see, skin in the game. I'm putting brain power in the game.
Okay.
And I'm making a solution for folks, like one tonight I just did. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's for one deal for 15 minutes of thought. I just brought in $2,000 into my household.
All right, so Mace, let's back up. So you have a bit of a different mindset. So how do you? Couple questions. One.
Okay.
There's levels to this ish, right? So
yes, there are.
Did you start at the level of not investing your own money, or have you built sufficient reputation and rapport with a circle of people who believe in you that now you don't need your own money? So you got,
well,
take us through the levels, because I don't want anybody to be mistaken to think that at ground zero, I just need a good idea and people going to throw money at me without me.
Okay. Understood totally. Now, I have three different vehicles. Okay?
All right.
So I do stock market. I won't get into that one too much. But when it comes to my personal franchise, I do network marketing, right?
Yes.
That, I put my own skin in the game. I bought the product. I did everything, and I started building the business. When it came to the real estate side of it, zero. How did I do that? I came up with an idea. And like I told you about the option call with the right hedge,
yes,
that's one of the things I did. I came up with that idea, and I talked to the Kiyosaki boys, my mentor, and he goes, how did you figure that out? I said, well, if a stock can do it, why can't I do it in real estate? And then guess what happened? I found a niche, a need. So I did. I took that need. I wrote up an idea around it, and I brought it to one of the guys that needed that need still. I went to the other side. They needed the need still. I brought them together, and my idea earned me a $2,000 commission.
Nice. So there are times that we don't need our own money, yet there's times that we do. And what I'm hearing –
Another vehicle, I used my own money to start that, and that has done very well for me. My investment has been returned a lot.
And so what I'm hearing is that we have to go to particular levels before we get to the zero money down kind of concept.
Invest in your financial IQ in line.
There it is, our financial IQ. So Russ, talk a little bit about this whole notion of the financial IQ. And we're still, for those who are watching and listening, we're on financing. All this is about financing the business. Financial IQ.
Listen, Russ. Mike, one of the things, I'm going to go back just a little bit.
Sure.
Financial IQ, just the idea of just learning to pay yourself first was one of the things that I had to learn. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest to our audience. I struggle with that now because sometimes you get caught up into the different things that are going on in your life and keep your bills in line. You want to keep your credit in line, but you still forget to pay yourself. I forget to pay myself. So I have to actually go back old school and re-implement some things that I used to do before now because things have changed. And so I got to reorient my thinking, cause my own paradigm shift again to start looking at what am I doing wrong? Something I was doing this before, why am I not able to do it now? So that comes with looking at what is actually going on in your life financially. I found myself at one point paying a lot of fees at the bank because, you know, I was doing overdraft and all kinds of other different things like that.
Mm.
Where's my money going? It's a small amount, I found myself, you know what I'm saying? There's some different things in our life that we have to begin to look at and examine those things. Were we paying too much interest? Are we just putting money in the bank savings? We may need to start investing. So reading and understanding these different areas of our life so that we begin to educate ourselves where and when we need to make these adjustments so that we're thinking differently than we before. That's one of the things that Mace mentioned earlier when he started out. You got to cause that paradigm shift.
So gentlemen, let me just break in for a second. We have 15 minutes left. But what I'd like to do, gentlemen, is this. I'd like to have a part two in a couple of weeks. Because,
great to be.
Yeah, we're only halfway through. And I don't want to rush through the next 5 points in the next 15 minutes.
No, all right. Definitely not.
Good. All right. So I just wanted to let everybody know this is actually part one. And we're going to have a part two in a couple of weeks. And let's end with this. Creating the corporation. So there's this notion of the entity. What is the legal entity that will comprise the business that we will be involved in? So, gentlemen, if you could, Russ, let's start with you. What are some of the legal forms of corporation that one can start?
Traditional mom and pop, the sole proprietorship.
Yes.
Where basically it's just you. You set things up. You got a little storefront or an idea, and it's just sitting around you. Or there's the partnership when you could be going into business with your spouse or friend or relative or another investor, and you guys are going to come together and share in the knowledge, the expenses, and the revenue of the business. Then you transition to the corporate, and there's different kinds of corporate organizations, and I don't want to get into that. That's a segment right there. There's the LLC. S corporation, even the partnership itself can become a corporation. And all of these different legal structures have different advantages and disadvantages in terms of your exposure to liability, how much taxes you pay, different things like that. And so when you go into business, that's a part of your planning that you have to know how you want to create your legal existence.
I like that. So Mace, jump in, because, yeah, I see you nodding your head. All right, go ahead.
Well, it's kind of interesting. He's right. It's all about your risk assessment, okay? And what I tell everyone, if you're going to do something that's a mom and pop, as he says, or a sole proprietorship, understand it's going to be tied to your social. It's tied. All your assets are tied to it. So that's what you got to understand right away. You need to do your risk assessment. And we'll get into that another time. I was telling Mike earlier, I said, no. There's more to that, those steps. But that's because my level of understanding, he did it as a quick note to us, so we have a framework to talk tonight. So I know he knows it, but it's one of those things where I want to take everybody one step further and say this to you. One of the things I did in my life, and my mentor told me right away, was don't try to be the expert. You know why? Because there's experts that'll do it for you. A lot of times, experts will do it for free, and then you get billed on the back end, okay? And never be cheap about that. Never try to take someone down. Don't get niggardly and try to knock down their amount, stuff like that, their commission.
Yep, I've never done that. That's right.
Okay, you get good advice, you pay for good advice, for solid advice. People that stay on top of these things. Like right now, if you're doing a business and you have to do taxes, you know how big the tax code is in the U.S., the United States? You can read for almost 2,000 years and not finish.
Hey, man,
I'm not kidding.
I have a funny story, Mace, if I could jump in and run. So one year I was calling myself trying to be cheap, frugal. So I attempted to do my own taxes. Yo, I'm a pretty intelligent guy. However, I think I got about a half hour into it. I got so frustrated. I called my accountant, shout out to Carlton Worthy, and I said, Carlton, he said, what's up, Mike? I said, first of all, I want to apologize. He said, apologize for what? I said, I apologize for thinking that I could do what you learned to do. And he started laughing. And it's fun. And the irony of this is that I took my taxes to him that year, paid him his fee. Mace, as you said, never negotiated. and he got me a refund. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So what's the point? You know what you're good at and know what you're not at. And a true entrepreneur knows how to build a team. And I'm getting a little bit ahead, and that's for next. That's for the next time. You know, leadership, mission, team.
Right
and to know what you're good at and what you're not, and then to coordinate the efforts of that team.
Exactly. Exactly. So I always say, if I don't know, I'm going to go to an expert. If I do know, I'm going to go to an expert.
I like that.
Because,
Either way, go to the expert.
Well, you know, if you have your taxes done, let's say you have a good tax accountant, and I like using them because everybody gets scared about taxes, and they're doing your financial statement every month. Think about how powerful that is.
That is
Think how quickly everything is done at the end of the year, no matter what business you run.
This is
extraordinary.
Gentlemen, this is good. I'm gonna give Russ and then Mace last words, because this is a good place to stop. Let me just give us a teaser for next week or the week after next. We're going to talk about leadership, mission, and team. And I have another scheme of purpose, people, and then profit. Working the biz, keeping your day job, and how do we move from part-time in our business to full-time? Because no business is going to support us 100% overnight. All right, so Russ, final comments, Mace, final comments, and then we'll sign off for the evening. It's been a good show. I've enjoyed this.
Listen, man, every time I've experienced Mace, I feel like I'm cheating. Because, you know, I spend almost the whole show taking notes, you know, trying to capture some of these new websites and terms and concepts and everything.
Yes.
And that's part of the process, man. No matter who you are, where you sit, you gotta keep an open mind. You have to listen, because you can learn something. And that's what this show is about, man. I'm really excited about. We picked a great topic for this show, to start this thing out. Because how you start out is how you're going to function later on. So we got to get that mind in order, and I'm loving this, man. I'm loving it, man.
Nice. So Ray's final comment, then we're going to shut it down for the night, and we appreciate everybody who's watching and listening.
I was going to say, Jason had a very good idea. It's one of the things with the notebook. Don't have to just listen to people you think are important. Listen to everyone. But the good thing about it is, when you get an idea, and it could be you learn a little nugget of understanding about something, write it down.
Write it down.
I keep a book with me all the time.
Yes.
It's important, because you're not going to remember. You'll remember maybe 80% of what something says, and by the time you have a couple hours, you only know 10% of it. So you miss that great nugget. It's gone. So I'm going to say right now that I'm glad you guys put this show together. I love the format. And I got to tell you, though, everybody listening to this, understand that each one of these topics can be a show in itself.
Yeah, it really could.
So we're really just skimming and touching for you right now.
Skimming
the surface. Interest for the rest of the year.
Yes.
So understand.
Thank you, Mace. Appreciate having you on tonight. We'll be back on in 2 weeks. Russ, as always, appreciate your partnership.
That's
you have right. been listening to Urban Entrepreneurs. It is a no-holds-barred business conversation where we teach you how to CYOC, create your own check. Tonight, we had my special guest, Mae Smallwood, my co-host, Russell Vaughn, and yourself, Vanessa, and myself, Vanessa. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks where we're going to deal with part two, leadership, mission, and team, purpose, people, and profit, working the biz, keeping
Roger.
Your day job, and how to move from part-time to full-time with this topic, how to start and build a successful business venture. All right, everybody. See you in 2 weeks. You know how we do. One love.
Peace out.
Peace. All right, everybody. Take care.
All right. Sorry. I have. Are we? We're all.